This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great. Super excited to connect with you today, Vanessa. I know you are off to Florida for a little bit, which is great. So that's nice. A little bit of fun in the sun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to get out of here.
Exactly. It's that time of year. Well, it's so funny because for folks that are listening in, we live in the northern part of the world called Canada. And so yesterday it was like just above freezing here. Like It was just barely not freezing anymore. And so my wife, my lovely wife, she was like, I feel like it's spring. I'm not going to wear a jacket today. And then today it's like, I think minus 19.
It's minus
19. Crazy.
I know.
It's crazy cold. It's that time of year.
Do you think it's going to snow today?
Probably. It did yesterday, which is crazy.
I know. So. I think if it snows today, my husband might go crazy.
Right.
It's just, it is. It's that time of year.
It's up and down, up and down. It's maple syrup season. For folks that don't know, that's what makes maple syrup, is the difference between freezing cold and warm. So, and the maple trees create the sap to do that. So there it is. A little maple syrup lesson on our podcast this morning.
Agree. Come to Canada.
So today we're talking about announcements, five things you should never say during announcements at your church. Announcements, what do you think about announcements at church? What's your, what's your perspective on this part of our service?
I think if they're longer than 90 seconds, I check out. Like, I think they,
that's so funny.
I think they need to be short and sweet. And I think there's many other ways that you can get information across. And I think that's the part of the service where most people are like, yeah, and I'm done.
Yeah, totally.
Short attention span.
A couple weekends ago, I was hosting at one of our campuses. They had me pinch hitting there, which was great. And I'm very similar. Like, I like, let's get it done and move on. Like, have a couple laughs and move on. And they actually, and your husband has produced in the past. He, wasn't him actually that was producing that day, but the producer that was on that day said, actually, like, you went a little short. Like, you need to go longer. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go longer. No. So that's what we're talking about. And, you know, I think there's this, it is interesting, right? Because it is, I think for a lot of people, it's this interesting piece where, you know, the teaching portion, hopefully, of our services has something that connects to everyday life. We know that teaching is the reason why people show up. And then, you know, the musical worship portion is about transcendence, is about trying to connect to something bigger than themselves and the people that are kind of in our services. And then usually the third piece, the third leg of the stool in most churches is some sort of announcement time. And really, I think I'm super passionate about this area because it's the part of the service where we move people to action. So it's the like most condensed, hey, we are asking you to get engaged part of the service. But it is, I do feel like there's a lot of church leaders that don't know what to do with it. They're like, They feel a lot of pain about it. They're like, this just feels like, it feels like a speed bump. It feels like we're heading along with musical worship. And then like somebody gets up and is like all cheesy. And so that's why we wanted to put this together. It's five things that we're hoping no one ever says on announcements on a Sunday morning.
Well, and I think the first point is something that's very easy to try and connect with an audience. So our first point is, wow, it's a nice day out there today.
So for folks that are listening in, we're being very hypocritical because we started today's podcast, a little trick there for you friends. We started talking about the weather, but this is a pet peeve of mine. So many times over the years, whether it's been in the campuses I've been in or as I've been coaching campus pastors or people who are doing hosting, you know, this is the kind of thing I hear all the time. And it's not so bad like once, but there are times that people get up and just literally have the same kind of verbal diarrhea. They're like, wow, isn't it weathery out there today? And the problem with that is, you know, the reason why people do that, first of all, we try to be positive. The reason why people do this is you're trying to find a connection point. You're trying to like say, hey, we're the same. Let's find some sort of connection. And so you use weather to do that. You get up and say like, oh, wow, there's weather. Now, the problem with this is actually it's so stereotypical. People start to tune out. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's like, of course, there's weather out there. Like every weekend, there's weather out there. And actually, most weather is basically, you know, the best way to predict tomorrow's weather is actually look at today. And so it's actually not that big of a change. Unless it's of historic difference, you should not be talking about the weather. Like it just is not the kind of thing for you to be spending time. You know, the other examples of this is like the, you know, how about those insert sports team here things? You know, like, well, hey, how about the whatever? You know, the reality of it is the sports team in your town, although you might be a big fan, the sports team in your town plays like 70, 80 games a year. It's not that big of a deal that they played a game yesterday and that they won or lost, you know, or, you know, did you see the traffic on the way in? Wow, that's life in the suburbs. Or, you know, welcome to First Church. Our mission here is to, and this one may be a little more controversial, you know, if you're always lead with welcome to First Church, our, you know, mission here is to help irreligious people become fully developed followers of Christ. And like you have this repetitive kind of verbal crutches where it's like you say the exact same thing week in, week out. You've got to walk away from that. You've got to stop that. Really what we've got to do is craft the first sentence or two in a way that intentionally connects the community and communicates that we have something important to tell people. So, you know, it's like a plane. The takeoff and landing is super important. And the takeoff here is really important. We've got to craft the beginning to grab people's attention and say, hey, we would love for you to come and, you know, be able to listen in, to be a part of this.
Yeah. And so we tell you things that you shouldn't do, but we also tell you things that you could do. Because I feel this is hard to kind of craft into your mind.
Yeah. So the big,
if you're so used to doing it this way.
Yeah, absolutely. So the overall lesson is we need to think about the first couple sentences in a way that will grab people's attention. And so, and I give you some examples here. So, so the first one, you know, is you're going to be so thankful you came to First Church today because our team has crafted an amazing experience to help you and your family. So the thing I like about this kind of beginning, the you driven beginning is, you know, people are inherently interested in themselves. So they came to church today because they're looking for something. And when we lead right off of the top by saying, hey, there's something great coming for you, it also, there's also a little bit of a hint of mystery there. Like, ooh, what is it about today that is so great for me? You know, again, we'll try to find a way to pull them in. You know, or, you know, and one here, another one, another idea is like, good morning. You know, if you've been around for a while, because I know, so first of all, I'll preface this one. We do want to talk about our mission. We do want to say like, hey, this is what our mission is all about. But sometimes I think we can, again, it's a verbal crutch to just constantly go back and just say that and not explain it. Because the problem is those words, particularly the kind of mission statement words, they're written in a way that means something to insiders, people that have been around. But if you've never been around, you don't really know actually what those things mean. And so you could lead with something like, good morning. If you've been around here for a while, you no doubt have heard us say that we're trying to be the kind of church that create that unchurched people love to attend. Well, I want to tell you a story that I heard this week about this mission being lived out. And so, you know, the idea there is, yes, you get your phrase out, but then you actually are kind of drawing people in with a story saying, hey, I want to tell you about something that happened that actually illustrated that. Again, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to talk about your mission, but I think it's a bad thing if you just kind of, you know, it's like copy and paste language. You just like, just, you know, kind of roll it out all the time. So, and there's some more in the article as well. So, you know, the first one here is just kind of leading with weather particularly. I see a lot of people do the weather thing, but then also it could be just this kind of repetitive language on the front end of every time they get up.
Okay, so our next point is something that gets on my nerves too. In just a moment, our team is going to collect this morning's offering.
All right, so this one gets on my nerves like big time. There's actually very few things in this list. I actually was going to put this one first, but I was like, okay, I can't start with the one that makes me the most agitated. But yeah, so in just a moment, our team is going to collect this morning's offering. Listen, people are being generous and choosing to give to your ministry. We're not talking about the collection. You know, we aren't the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, collecting taxes for God. We want to guide people towards generosity, not the pass the payment, not pass the plate and demand payment. I really do think this is a big deal. The minor kind of nuances of how we talk about finances are really important in your church. And this one, again, is lazy language. When we use this idea that like somehow people owe us something, is really, really negative. And what it does is it sets up, it actually repositions this, what's happening in this part of our service, instead of being like, wow, this is an amazing opportunity for us to be generous. It repositions it as like, you owe us something, you better give to us now. Other examples of this is, you know, our ushers will be coming forward to get your tithes from you. I've heard people say that, which is crazy. You know, as our team prepares to gather this morning's weekly offerings, as if it's like fruit on trees, like, and you're a tree that we're gathering them out of. Again, no, we're not do that. Or, you know, we're going to take up this morning's offering from you. Listen, we're not, first of all, that's weird language. Take up is a strange, like it's just even strange English, but take up this morning's donations or offerings from you. Listen, we need to reposition this as people are being generous. We're thankful that they're being generous and we're creating an opportunity for them to be generous. So yeah, this is just, it bugs me big time.
So again, we talk about things you shouldn't do. Here are some things that you could try and say. I also love how fired up you are right now.
I know this one. It's funny because it does. It's like it's when I hear people say this, it's like chalk. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, ah, oh, gosh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And you know, it's a double whammy because I think it not only is it kind of, I do think it puts people off this part of the service. You know, we know it by, you just talk to people who have not attended churches for a long time. They're confused by what's happening financially. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not sure, like, what is this thing? And then why are they passing a plate? Like, that's not the kind of thing that happens anywhere else in the world. And so we've got to work in this part. And I don't think you should shy away from it. I know there's churches out there who don't collect an offering hat. They don't receive an offering, during their service. They put like a box at the back of the room. And I actually don't think that that's a great idea. And that's a whole other conversation, but, they don't receive an offering in their service. I do think it's good to actually have this as a part of your service, but I think we got to go out of our way to make it, you know, just sit in a better spot. Mm-hmm. So some examples, you, instead of saying, you know, I want to collect this morning's offering, you could say something like, in just a minute, our team is going to receive this morning's offering from our community. Again, the subtle difference between collect and receive is significant. You know, it's, we're going to receive from you. You're choosing to give, we're going to receive. Or we know that you have a lot of places you could choose to give, again, acknowledging what's true. So we're honored that so many people are choose to give here. So that there's two things going on there. I love that we're just acknowledging what's actually true. People could decide mm-hmm. to not give to your church. And you're also then kind of giving a little bit of a social proof to say, and our church does mm-hmm. a good job of this. We constantly, you'll hear us say this. We'll say like one of the, and which you can get into kind of verbal patterning too much, but it will say like, you know, you're among some of the most generous people in this community, which is, you know, which is, I think is a good mm-hmm. language. That is great. Cause it's saying to people like, hey, there's so many generous people in this room. We would love for you to be a part of that. Or another one, you know, as a church, we don't feel, we don't want you to feel under any obligation to serve. This part of the service is for people who call our church home and want to give back to the ministry here. Again, two things we're doing here. One, we're kind of letting people off the hook who have never been here before by saying, we don't want you to feel any obligation to give. Now, we're also not saying don't mm-hmm. give. There's a whole other conversation here. I don't think you ever want to get up and say, please, if you're here, don't give. No. Like, we don't want to do that. Like, because we actually would like them to give because that's actually a part of them taking a step towards God. And so we don't want to kind of let them off that hook because that could actually be something that the Lord's asking them to do at that moment. And then the other piece of this, when you say that, this part of our service for people who call our church home, it reminds people who are normally here, hey, it would be really good for you to give in a subtle, nice, kind of kind way.
Mm-hmm. So they're just like really, really small language changes that have a huge impact.
Yeah, I think it's all about kind of positioning what's happening in that part of our service in a way, you know, that ultimately makes people feel comfortable with what's happening.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk about some small groups.
Okay, so the phrase we had here is, we're launching small groups this month. So this is, of all these ones we're talking about, it's the least amount of words, but it's like a significant, you know, weird thing that I see happen all the time. So what's the problem with saying we're launching small groups this month? A couple problems with this. We're talking about what we're doing. We're not talking what's in it for them. So when we say we're launching small groups, when we say we're doing something, it could be anything. We're launching, you know, we're launching, I don't know, some, you know, some new thing, you know, we're launching something in student ministry. We're launching this thing and, you know, we're doing a new men's ministry, whatever. When we talk about us being us, when it's us centric, there, what we haven't done is gone, do the longer work to go and try to communicate with people why we're doing this thing for them. Again, people are, adults are two things. Adults are inherently selfish and they're inherently, you know, just-in-time learners. So, and those are just true. Those aren't like value statements. We do think about mm-hmm. ourselves. We think about like, hey, what is it that, you know, how does this relate to me? And then the other part of it is if I don't think it's of consequence now in my life, then I'm going to put it off. And so what we have to do is communicate why this and why now consistently with our people. And so examples for that on this kind of what's in it for them part of this problem is, you know, you could, instead of saying, you know, like this, we're launching small groups this month, you could start with, you know, are you wondering how to get connected at our church? Have you wondered, hey, where do I find friends? Hey, that's a great question. Here at First Church, we have a series of midweek groups where you get a chance to meet other people like you and you get to discuss what we talk about here on the weekends. And so again, we're trying to reposition it as like a question that people might have and then say, hey, that answer is this thing. Or another one example here, what I want you to do is listen to the how many times we use the word you and your versus our or we. So just listen to this for a second. It says, one of the things we've learned is that you will learn best when you are in community with other people. You are missing out unless you're in a group of 6 to 8 people where you get to know them better and discuss how you can apply the teaching of Jesus to your life. Our small groups here at our church will help you grow in your faith. Again, I once heard there should be a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 times the number of you's to we's in any sentence when you're trying to move people towards action. And so we want to start our communication with, hey, what is in it for them? The other part of this, so does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And I love this next point.
Yeah, so then the other piece of this, like small groups, so the reason why I said we're launching small groups this month as a thing we should never say, is this small group is a total insidery language. Like It's the kind of thing that if you've been in church for a while, you know what that is. But actually, if you were to even just go to Google and type definition small group, you go do this, you'll get a definition of something that we do not talk about in church. It's actually not. So actually, the definition that comes back is when you just literally type in definition small group is, you know, it refers to this idea of teaching within small group learning. And it differentiates the difference between a lecture is somewhere around 400 people and a small group is somewhere around 50 people. Well, what I know is that in no churches, when they say small groups, they're thinking 50 people. So small groups are an example of insider language. We have to go out of our way, like I did in those couple previous sentences, to explain what they are. They're midweek discussion groups. They're a place where people, you know, meet other folks and get connected with the teaching of Christ. We've got to explain what we're talking about. And we do this all the time. Like, you know, and I give some examples of this, the things that we just take for granted here. So, another area where we could do this is in the way we name things. So, I just came up with a funny example there. So I'm going to invite a teacher from our Umbajabi. I'm going to invite a teacher from Umbajabi up in a minute. Umbajabi is our program for children in 1st till 5th grade that meets on Sunday here at the church. Umbajabi means creation in Swahili, and we believe every child is a wonderful creation of God. Now, so, you know, we all churches, a little bit of tongue in cheek, but our churches, a lot of churches have these names for things that don't make sense. So like in this case, Umbajabi, but then there could be, you know, all the other stuff, you know, like what about, you know, like we name things, these weird names.
Mm-hmm. And then
And then what we have to do is then give the, so that's fine if you want to do that. You want to have some cool hip name. But then below that, you need to have the like, okay, so it's called this. This is what it is. So in this case, Umbajabi and grades 1 through 5. Or you could just literally call it elementary, the thing that everybody knows. Clarity does beat cleverness every time, but that's a whole other conversation. So again, there's a couple other examples in here, but the key is to work insidery language out of our sentences. We've got to find ways to not, if people who just walked in off the street don't understand it, you're not going to move people to action.
Absolutely. All right. And this next point kind of ties into that as well. The men's hiking club is heading to the state park next month.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem with this one is this narrow casting idea. So, let's say you're a church of 200 people, you got 200 people in front of you and you're talking about the men's hiking club and you're hoping that you have 8 people at the men's hiking club actually come to this event. Now, the problem is when you get up every week consistently and talk about things that are narrow cast into a smaller subset, what that does is it actually convinces people to turn off their brain and say, well, I know they only ever talk about things that don't apply to me. They always talk about these kind of narrow subgroups. And so you're actually convincing people or patterning people to not listen to you. And so the trick on the front end, before you even get up there, is to say, are the things that I'm talking about as broadly applicable as possible to as many people as possible in the church so that then we can move those people to action, get those people fired up, to be a part of the service. Because if we're always narrow casting, what happens over time is people will just not pay attention. And so, you know, what we've got to do is move our sub ministries, if there are these smaller subgroups, to use other communication channels. And I provide a bunch of them, direct emails, maybe some, you know, foyer chaos, a little lobby chaos. You could do some stuff in out there, social media. You could literally, they have these things called telephones where it's really an amazing technology. It's kind of like Twitter with audio. You can like send a person that you pick up the phone, you dial them. Everyone has like an address, kind of like an email address, but it's numbers, and you dial them and then they're just there and you could actually talk with them. Or you could send old school snail mail. Like, why don't you mail? So in this case, like I would say, no, like we're not going to talk about the men's hiking club on the Sunday morning. Cause it's just, frankly, there's not enough people that are interested in that. Let's work with you on getting some direct mails out to those people. Maybe you should send a postcard to them. And then like, have you had your leaders call everyone? If you you had, you know, if you gave your leaders 10 guys' names to call and, you know, you had four or five leaders, you would get way better effectiveness,
for sure,
you know, on actually getting people plugged into your event.
And I think people want to feel like they're important. So I think if you have that sort of personal invitation, you're going to have way more action at that point versus narrow casting in a service. And people are like, are they talking to me? Or there, it removes confusion.
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. All right. Well, our last point, there are the top five ways. Here are the top five ways to get connected in under 5 minutes. Go.
Yeah. So this is a cute thing I see some churches do where they're like, they think it's kind of funny to be like, I'm going to try to jam as much information into a short period of time as possible. I don't know why I just had a Southern accent here. That's kind of mildly inappropriate. It's like a game. Like we want to try to give you. Now the problem with this is people will tune out. So, when you start this kind of thing, you can practically hear people starting to check out, and you'll see people do this in like video announcements a lot too, where they'll be like, you know, it's the top 10 things in 10 minutes. And I'm like, that's a really bad idea. Like you do not want to do that. And there's all kinds of studies, and I've listed to a few of them here, that show that people's attention spans are dramatically shrinking. You know, the one that kind of punchline one that came out a couple of years ago is that, you know, humans now have an attention span shorter than that of a fish. And that's really true. Or there's this idea that in television commercials, which is, which is probably the closest equivalent of what we're happening in announcements. It's interruption-based advertising, right? Something happens and then you have someone else come in, do something. And then, you know, the thing that they're actually looking for comes up next. And so, it's probably a close equivalent to that. And they found, they've done all kinds of studies. Remember when you used to watch TV, they would have like announcements, you know, or they would have, you know, commercials in between. And they found that, you know, people, once you get to like, you know, beyond in this case, one or two messages, there becomes a law of diminishing returns. People learn less and less or remember less and less over time. That's why announcements were only ever about 2 minutes long. They would have basically four of them because basically the erosion was anything beyond five or six, it got smaller. But really when you read those studies, they said, you know, ideally what would be great is if we had one or two announcements, commercials at every break, because that would be the highest value, but obviously you can't afford to pay, for that. So, what does that tell? That tells us that the more things we pile into announcements, the less effective they are. And so I think what you've got to do is you've got to actually pre-negotiate this. When I see this, like, here's five things in 5 minutes, go, it's actually showing laziness on the system side beforehand, because then that means really no one is saying, what should we be talking about ahead with everybody? What should we be, conversing on? And so, you've got to really argue that out ahead of time, figure out, okay, what are we doing and what are we going to talk about on certain weekends? And that might mean, it's due to the same as student ministry people. Like, I know you really want us to talk about your, retreat, and yeah, you've got a lot of people and maybe it fits all our other criteria, but like, we can't do it this month. The first time we could do it would be the beginning of this month, which might then say the student ministry people might say, you know what? Like, we'll move our event based on that because we know we can get better stage time to promote it, that kind of thing. So I think we've got to ruthlessly work ahead of time to kind of cut out of the list things that we shouldn't be talking about. We need to reduce down to one or two. My coaching, my recommendation to churches is that they are trying to work towards just one announcement, one call to action in that time in the morning, and actually to take longer to talk about that one thing, to slow down and provide more value in that area.
Do you set a time around that? Like, do you find that, you know, if it's one call to action, some people might think, okay, so we have, you know, we want to start moving people towards small groups and we have, say, like a group link coming up in the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. But then there's also other filler things like come into the New Here kiosk or whatnot. And so I find that can take up a lot of time. So if you have one call to action, should that be 90 seconds?
Yeah, great question. So
what's the time?
So it seems like, so years ago, which I actually pulled it off, I wrote a ebook on announcements. And when we were doing that research, I found that people were saying pretty consistently that the announcement portion, not what was scheduled, but what actually happened, pretty consistently came up around 5 minutes. That people, when you talk about the kind of time that's associated in your service to, that's not musical worship, worship and not teaching. So kind of all that stuff that's like welcoming new here guests, doing offering, you know, this portion, which is more classically kind of the like move people to action thing. It was, you know, now that would be, you know, 5 minutes in total altogether. Now it may not all be lumped in one spot. It may be at a couple different spots in the service. So yeah, if you back out the like, I do think you should be doing best practice are to do some sort of call out to new here guests every week. You need to do some sort of offering talk where it's like, hey, what is actually happening right now? You shouldn't just be like, hey, we're going to receive the offering now. You need to actually set that portion up. By the time you do those two things, you're probably down to something like that 90 seconds, you know, maybe 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes tops that you have to talk about whatever it is that you're talking about. And so, yeah, it's somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Does that make sense?
Okay, so before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I just think announcements are a critically important part of the service. I think, unfortunately, what happens is there's someone who's thinking a lot about music. That's not unfortunate, but there's someone who's thinking a lot about worship, and then there's someone who's thinking a lot about the teaching portion. But there, in a lot of churches, there isn't someone who's really wrestling, how are we using that part well? And so my encouragement would be, if you're listening in today, you're an executive pastor or you're an associate pastor, or if you're a lead pastor, you know, you probably need to give a bit more attention to this area. It's a little bit like a garden. If you just let it go, it'll get filled with weeds and be really bad. You've got to actually get in there and kind of craft it to be a real positive thing. So I would encourage people to be thinking about that. And we've got other resources at Unseminary to help you with announcements, but hopefully this was an encouragement and help for you today.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.